Thank you, Joseph. Thank you to all those who have led us in our worship today as Bubba came and read to us or taught us from Romans 5 as he was extending our thoughts towards the Lord's Supper. And before that, though, he mentioned how great our crowd was, and boy, it is. It is great to stand here. If you're there, you can't see it like I can. The balcony is just every row. I mean, you know, hey, it won't be long. Hopefully we'll be removing that tape, right? But the kites are here. I know they probably don't want me to say anything, but what a blessing it is. I mean, they encouraged me this morning. Robert Corneliuson encouraged me this morning. We're getting more and more that are able to get here, and we're so thankful for that. Do want to say to those who are still tuned in virtually that we miss you too, and we love you, and we can't wait till we're all back together again. But what a great, great morning it has been so far. And Joseph sang it, right? He led us in it. Light the fire. It's about being excited. All month long, we've been talking about elevate, raising the bar, if you will, about Jesus Christ. And all these words have started with EX, if you remember. Exalt was the very first one. We're exalting Christ, okay? We're expounding Him. We don't want to exclude Him. Well, today we want to talk about being excited about Jesus. The worst possible scenario I could play out in my mind would somebody leave my presence after a Bible discussion about Jesus and say, you know, I really just don't want to go and be a part because that guy just doesn't have a lot of enthusiasm about Jesus. He doesn't have a lot of enthusiasm about his church. When I mean his church, I mean Jesus' church. You know, and see, to me, that kind of scenario that's being played out in my mind, I'm afraid from time to time it is being played out in real life with some different people. I don't want anyone to leave here today without excitement about Jesus. It is okay to be excited about Jesus. We get excited about a lot of things, don't we? We get excited about our college teams. We get excited about great deals. We get excited about which candidate that is winning or which one is losing. We get excited about different topics. We get excited about things at work. We get excited about if we are able to shoot a big deer or catch a big fish or whatever. And I'm not saying that is wrong, but what I am saying is if we're more excited about that than Jesus Christ, something's wrong. We got one amen out of all that, but the rest of you agree. Okay? Something is wrong if my excitement about Jesus pales in comparison to my excitement about things that do not matter at the end of the day. And I'm telling you, folks, I believe God is going to hold us accountable to that. You see, I've talked with expert salesmen, and we have some of those here at this congregation, and they do very well selling things. And in order for them to go in and make a sale, they have to be knowledgeable of their product. They have to be personable to that person. They have to build a relationship with them. And they also have to be excited about the product. All of those things help them be successful, and I'm sure there are more, salesmen. Jesus Christ and Christianity, we must market it the right way. We must be knowledgeable of Jesus. We must be personable with others, not standoffish wall builders, but bridge builders. And we must be excited because it is the greatest product, whatever word you want to use to describe it, that has ever and will ever exist. Jesus Christ today has died and been resurrected. And if Terry and you fill in your name have spiritually died by being immersed in water and been resurrected by being raised out of that water to walk in newness of life, God has contacted us with the blood of Jesus and we are living as best we can, then there is no reason we should not be excited today. No reason.
In the Bible, Justin talked about this Wednesday night, there are joy stealers. Justin told me what he's going to talk about, and I said, man, that's perfect, because Sunday I'm talking about being excited. There are joy stealers in the Bible. There are also joy stealers in society. Perhaps even joy stealers in the church. Boy, that hurts to say, doesn't it? And it hurts to hear. But I want to give you another joy stealer. He gave us some examples of that Wednesday. But today I want you to open up to Mark chapter 10. We've got a lot of reading today, which I hope that you will be able to follow along. We got a lot of points, and I'm going to talk kind of fast. But if you ever have any questions or want to talk further or study further, just let me know. But in Mark 10, Jesus encounters a man by the name of Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is blind. So therefore, we call him blind Bartimaeus. But blind Bartimaeus, he gets excited. You know why he gets excited? Because he hears the one who can take away his blindness is standing in his presence, is standing near him. But you know, along the way, there's some naysayers. Let's read it. Mark 10, beginning in 46. Now they came to Jericho, as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. It didn't say he whispered. He didn't just monotonely, very reserved, very just even keel. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But then the naysayers came along, the joy stealers. They warned him, be quiet. But he got quiet. But he stayed monotone. But he whispered. No, he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be calm. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. He's calling you. I want to say to those joy stealers, what now, huh? What now? And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now hear me out, guys. Why was he excited? Because he knew Jesus had the answer. Can we make a comparison today? We were blind. Some may still be. We were blind spiritually. Jesus is still the answer. We still must cry out. There are people trying to quiet us. There are people trying to steal our joy. There are people trying to say, just hush your mouth. Don't speak out. You can't do it. But we better be even more excited. We better cry out all the more. If not, the church will always exist. Jesus promised that. But the church in our area won't. When great things happen, what do we want to do? I want to tell people. Now we've got a social media platform that we want to put it out there. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But what I'm saying is, do we care about Jesus that much? Has He excited us that much? Remember what He's done for us. He cleared our vision. He opened our eyes. He saved our soul. Don't give in to those who are trying to say, be quiet. No, be excited. Today, the way I'm going to use our text or to use our lesson time is I'm going to look at some examples. Some examples that stood out to me and have stood out to me as exciting examples. And I just want to look at those texts
And I want us to look at these three texts that we're about to look at now, and I want us to draw some points from it. It's going to be about six total. And when it's all said and done, you're going to look at biblical examples and you're going to examine your life. And I'm going to examine mine. And I hope that we conclude at the end of the day, I am as excited as I need to be, or I'm going to resolve to change that. First example that I want us to look at today is found in John chapter 3. And it's that of John the Baptist. John chapter 3, look down at verse 27. You recall John, he was the forerunner, right? He was the one sent to prepare the way for Jesus. Now, John had a big job, right? He had a big job to come in, and I think about they're clearing a spot of land not far from our house where there's going to be a new grocery store, Publix. And you know, it was a lot of woods right there at that little corner of that side of the road. But they brought the right equipment in and they cleared it out. Now, there's still more work to do, but they're hauling it off and everything else. And now all of a sudden there's this big open space. Why? Because they sent the right equipment. God sent the right man. And He cleared the junk. He cleared the way to prepare the way for Jesus Christ coming. That's what John's responsibility was. But in verse 27, John answered. Now, you got to remember, he's baptizing people and everything else. And he says, hey, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to him from heaven. Boy, wouldn't we be better off if we adopted that mentality today? Don't worry about money. Don't worry about anything else. Why? Because, hey, we can't receive it unless it comes from heaven. We got to give God the right glory. Verse 28. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before Him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. I know John's excited. Maybe he's not crying out loudly like Bartimaeus was. But the reason I know John's excited is if you go back to verse 29, when he says, therefore this joy of mine is now complete. Have you ever got finished with a job and like, man, I feel good about it. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that work. I'm proud of what I was able to do. I stretched myself, and now I was able to accomplish this. And it feels good, right? And we're excited about it. Well, John is looking, and he knows the Messiah is coming, and it's about time to reveal Him to the world. And he says, hey, I'm happy. I'm excited. Why? Maybe because he'd done the right job. Maybe because he knew that it was now time for his work to end and he could go back. I mean, obviously John's life's not going to last much longer, but he's maybe thinking, I can go back to doing some other things, some things where I don't have to eat locusts and wild honey all the time, right? But then thirdly, I believe this one is probably the case. He knows Jesus Christ is coming. He knows the Messiah is coming. So he says, this joy of mine is now complete. So how do we have that mindset? We are also modern day John the Baptist. We've got to be in the wilderness. Get to eat a little bit better than John did, right? But we've got to live in this wilderness. We've got to live in this world. And what's our job? To prepare the way for when Jesus Christ comes back. So can we right now sit there and say, hey, my joy is where it needs to be. My excitement's where it needs to be. Well, John gave us a couple reasons why his excitement was there in this text. Or he gave us the reasons for us to get our mindsets there. Here's number one. He says, if I'm going to be excited about Jesus Christ, He must increase and I must
decrease. Now, I've preached lessons on this before because it's about putting God where He needs to be. Week number one, raising the bar, elevating where we need to be. We got to exalt Christ. Jesus Christ, if He is not number one in my life, then I've got some, I don't have the excitement I need to have, and I've got some changing I need to do. Guys, it's about priorities. It's about what matters most to me. I've heard people say, and we've all said it probably from time to time, hey, we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to find a way. We're going to justify it. We're going to find a way to get things done. Why? Because it matters to me. Does Jesus Christ matter to you? Does He matter to me? You see, I have a responsibility, you have a responsibility, and it's to get the way ready for Jesus Christ to come back to this earth. Am I excited about it? What am I excited about? I had a conversation with someone just Friday about this. I have to purge things, I've told y'all this as well, but I have to purge things out of my life. You know, the politics and different things like that. Sometimes I've gotten myself wrapped up in it or this and that. And you know, if it doesn't go my way, I get down, I get sad, I get, you know, and I struggle with depression anyhow. So I've got to make sure I got to guard myself of that and everything. So you know what the easiest thing to do is decrease that junk out of my life and increase Jesus Christ in my life. And I'm guessing that some of y'all can make that same statement that I just confessed to you today. We've got too much junk that really, listen, I get it. I know we need to be concerned about things, and I'm not saying we don't do our civic duty and we don't pray. I'm not saying we don't do all that. I'm saying don't saturate yourself with news and saturate yourself with negative and joy-stealing kind of stuff. Saturate yourself with Jesus Christ. The more Jesus we get, the less I've got to worry. But secondly, John says this. His words, exact quote, you want to be excited about Jesus? Have this in your heart and your mind. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. The reason I can be excited about Jesus Christ today is this. Because through Jesus I have eternal life. What's the worst thing that could happen to me? Jesus said, don't fear those who can destroy the body. He said, just fear that one that can destroy the soul. So in other words, the worst thing, and I'm not talking about we don't walk around cautious and all that. You know where I'm coming from, I hope. You know my heart. But we should not walk around as defeated little puppy dogs. We should walk around as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We should represent the King. We should let people know that, hey, the reason I'm so excited today is because Jesus Christ has saved my soul. If Jesus Christ has saved your soul, don't walk around down another day. Don't walk around with your head hung low. Let's walk around with that joy. Because whoever believes, now remember, believes is active, right? It's everything involved in that. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Do you have eternal life today? Then be excited about Jesus. The second biblical example I want us to look at comes from the woman at the well, John chapter 4. If you will, turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we're going to read. This is a longer reading, right? But it's beginning in verse 7. It's a great story, and we use it quite a bit. But I want you to hear how excited she is. Maybe you've forgotten how excited. When she comes to the well, she's not real excited. Her life's not where it needs to be. She's got too much junk that's increased and not enough Jesus. Beginning in verse 7, John 4. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, or gave us the well, and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. What about a mic drop moment now? Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. Now let's put this in perspective. Here comes a woman who's been married five times. And the one she lives with now is not her husband. Maybe she's thinking, I ain't doing that again. She comes to the well at a time when there are no other women there, because maybe she's been gossiped about, she's been talked about. She's probably in her life as low as you could possibly get. And then there's a man there. Maybe in her mind she's thinking, wow, you know, here's another man who's heard about me because I've got a reputation. I don't know. But instantly Jesus has a conversation with her. That's what evangelism is, right? Having conversations. Y'all heard that the last few weeks. He has a conversation with her. And the first thing he says is, hey, I'd like to have a drink. Remember, and then they go on and talk about, you know, this living water. She says, hey, you didn't bring a bucket. This well's pretty deep. But Jesus is trying to change her mentality. He's trying to change her demeanor. He's trying to change her life. First of all, she's also a Samaritan and he's a Jew. And remember, he went through that area, I believe, to talk to this woman. And at this point in time, this woman doesn't have much excitement. But at the end of the day, she has a lot of excitement. She has a lot of things that go through her mind. Jesus tells her, I am the Messiah. I am the one you speak of. She runs. Remember why she came to the well? She came to the well to draw water. She brought water pots. When it's all said and done, you know what she does? She leaves those water pots. She leaves excited. So what does it remind us of today? Number one, if I want to be excited about Jesus, I got to desire the water. You ever been thirsty? And I know maybe you're thirsty right now. But you've ran and you've exercised, or you've walked a long way and you've been hot, you've been parched, and you thirst. And then sometimes you drink and you drink and you drink, and you feel like, man, maybe my thirst just can't be quenched, and I'm still thirsty. The desire for that water is strong. You remember I told you the story before of the man who had lived out in the water. They thought he was dead, and he survived all these days out in the water. Could you imagine how thirsty he was? He's in salt water. He can't drink that. But can you imagine how thirsty he was, been living out in this water? He was dying of a thirst. My question to you today is this: do you desire the living water? Why did Jesus talk to this woman? Because she needed water. She just needed the wrong kind of... She was getting the wrong kind of water. Jesus changed her entire mentality. He changed her entire life by not giving her physical water, but giving her that living water. What do you desire the most? If we could fill out a survey today, what is your number one desire? There's a lot of things that go on our list, guys. It is. But number one better be the water. It better be Jesus. If not, I'll never have the excitement I need to have. Secondly, you got to know the Messiah. I love in verse 25, she said, "I know the Messiah is coming." She knew, even though she lived it, she knew she couldn't wait. Even though she's a Samaritan, she couldn't wait to know the Messiah. And Jesus tells her in that next verse, He says, can you imagine the chill bumps? He says, "I am the Messiah." You can know Jesus and not know Jesus. And I believe there are a lot of people in the church that live that way. They know who Jesus is. And I didn't say in the world, I said in the church. Do you hear me? They know who Jesus is. But He's on, like I said, that back burner. He's not the most important thing. He's not exalted in their life. He's not increased in their life. So you can know Jesus and not know Jesus. She could have walked away from there and said, "Hey, that was just another guy." But along the way, she went, "This man's a prophet," to, "This man's the Messiah." Do you and I know the Messiah? And I'm not talking about know who He is. Do you know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? Thirdly, what happens after that? You leave the water pot. You got to leave it. We didn't get to that part of the text, but you recall it, right? What, like I said earlier, what she brought to the well were her water pots. Why? Because she needed to fill them. But when she left the well, she left the water pots. Maybe she was leaving behind that old life. Maybe she was leaving behind that struggle. Maybe she's leaving behind that sin. But she's leaving there with knowledge of who the Messiah is. And she had excitement. Maybe she left them in excitement. But she ran away from there to tell everyone she'd met the Messiah. When you leave here, what are you going to do? Chances are we're going to eat. But what are we going to do tomorrow? Oh, we're going to go to work. But what are we going to do at work? Well, we're going to work and just go through our mundane day. How about we go there and we show the excitement that we have of the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Think it changed the world? Think it changed the people around us? Chances are, it's going to make a difference. Final lesson I want us to look at today comes from John chapter 4. You've been very patient. I'm very proud of you. We got one more. It won't take us long. I said John 4. I'm in Acts 4. We've been in John 4, though. But it comes from Acts 4, and it's about Peter and John. So let's look at it real quick. A lot of you probably knew, if you know me, knew I had to go here. Acts chapter 4. Now, I got to give you the background real quick, and then we'll get caught up. In Acts 1, the disciples are kind of there staring, twiddling their thumbs. What now? Right? The apostles now, I guess. That Jesus Christ has died. They saw Him before resurrection, and now they've seen Him after. They're apostles. But they're like, what do we do? And Jesus has been preparing us this for 3 years, and now we don't really know what to do. Jesus is very patient with them. Remember they asked, is it this time you're going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus is very patient with them. He said, just wait on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to reveal all these things to you. He said, you're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, boom, Jesus goes, the Holy Spirit comes. It's all revealed to them. Acts chapter 2 gets there. All the day of Pentecost, all these people gathered around. They're all thinking, hey, the joy stealers Justin was talking about, they're saying, these guys don't know. Man, well, we don't know what they're doing. They're just drunk. Peter stands up and says, oh, no, we're not drunk. He said, let me tell you about what we're excited about. And he goes on, he preaches that long gospel sermon about Jesus, right? And he tells them, hey, you love David. David's in a grave dead. Jesus Christ, he is alive. He's not in his tomb. And by the way, you wanted the Messiah. You had him and you put him on a tree. You killed him. Well, they stop in the middle of the sermon and say, what do we need to do? He said, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 of them respond to the invitation, right? They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, prayers, fellowship. I'm sorry, apostles' doctrine, fellowship, prayers, and breaking of bread. They continue to eat with excitement, everything. God added to the church daily, those who are being saved. That's Acts 2. Acts 3. What happens? Peter and John, walking along the way, they come to the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. The lame man's begging. Justin reminded us this. He's been doing it for a long time, right? Over 40 years. He's been lame. He's been begging. That's his job. People carry him there. He begs for money. Everything. And so Peter and John pass by at the gate Beautiful, and they beg. He asked for money. Hey, give me some money. Peter says, silver and gold I do not have. What I do have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He leaps to his feet. Miracle. It's amazing. People start talking. A lot of people are excited. People get baptized. People start following. But then some people start to get mad. Those naysayers. And so we get to Acts 4. Acts 4. Peter and John have caught some hostility. Things have been going great. Thousands of people being added to church every day. The numbers are growing to that. And we get down to verse 13, Acts 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man, that's the lame man, who had been healed standing with them, they could not say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. I mean, the man's standing right there by him. Verse 17. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on, they speak to no man in this name. Remember what Peter said to the lame man in Acts 3. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, the man then leaps to his feet, and he stands right by him. Here's all the evidence I need, Mr. Judge. Now, they've been beaten with rods. They can't deny miracles happen. So what do they say? They send them out and they get together and they say, hey, let's stop this. We've got to stop this junk. That's what they think of it as, right? Junk. So they said, hey, let's severely threaten them. Now, they've beaten them with rods. So what are they going to do now? Beat them harder? Beat them, lock them in prison for life? They're going to stone them to death? What is severely threatened? I don't know. But it had to be bad. So they get them back together and they say, hey, listen, if you don't quit talking in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is what we're going to do to you. So shut your mouth. Peter and John said, guess what? Hey, it's been a good run. Stood up on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 walked the aisle. Lord's been adding. I mean, they could have said that, right, baby? It's old Peter. But here's what he says. Verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus.
Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Here's what they said in Terry's terminology. You do what you've got to do. Beat us, stone us, kill us, however you need to do it. But we can't help it. We're so excited and we just can't hide it. And that excitement comes because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Here they are. You want to be that kind of excited? You got to spend time with Jesus. What did they say? These men are uneducated, they're untrained, but we cannot deny that they have been with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Quality time with Jesus. If you want to be excited, spend time with Him. Secondly, be filled with Jesus. Isn't that what they said? They say there's so much Jesus in us, He's got to come out. You know, as we get ready to close, I want to take you to what Mark read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Remember now, we've just studied Hebrews 11, where it's been the hall of fame of faith, right? Then in Hebrews 12, it talks about that we have this cloud of witnesses cheering us on. So we got to get rid of everything that's holding us back. Get rid of the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance or excitement or enthusiasm or longevity the race that is set before us. Then what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. There was nothing joyful about the cross. There was nothing joyful about a scourging that left Him a bloody, pulverized mess. There was nothing exciting about 8-inch spikes being driven through His hands and feet. There was nothing exciting by ripping His back open on that rugged cross to get one single breath. There was nothing exciting about His Father turning His back on Him that day. Turning His back on it all. There was nothing exciting about the physical, emotional nature of it. The joy that was set before Him were us. It was us. It was you. And it was me. That was the joy that was set before Him. That's why He endured the cross. For the excitement of knowing that one soul would come to know Him. Are we excited for Him? Like He was excited for us. Today, if you need to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, or you need to change your life in a public way, leave here excited no matter what. Do it right now. Together, we stand and sing.